Jeremiah, a lot of them are historical accounts. And most of the spiritual teaching hidden in the first 30 chapters. So we spend most of the time in the first 30 chapters. Now we come back to Jeremiah chapter 17. We mentioned verse 7, 8, 9 already, and then take a look in verse 12, 13, and 14. Jeremiah 17, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, O Lord, the hope of Israel. All who forsake you shall be ashamed, and those who are depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. For those who have forsaken God, worshiping the idol, the name will be written in the earth. And how about for those who worship the true God, the name will be written in where? According to the book of Revelation. We worship the true God, receive the baptism, our name written in where? Written in where? Book of life. Oh. So there's so much difference. Huh? Written in the book of life. And written in the earth. Written in the earth means no value at all, just like a dust. And written in the earth means God does not remember at all. One day the earth been burned out with a fire, and all the names burned together, and nobody remember it. And written in the book of life, and that book of life will last forever, which means God will remember forever. As what we mentioned previously, we cannot remember the name of our grandfather at the same time. If we can live long enough before Jesus' second coming, probably our children of our grandchildren will never remember us. Eventually, we all will be forgotten in the history. Nobody will remember anybody anymore. But at that time, God will remember us. And that's what is the most important thing. And that is what our hope is. Remembered by God. So the Israelites, when they forsake God, the price they have to pay is very, very high. There are two kinds of price they have to pay forsaken God. From eternity, their name was removed from the book of life and written in the earth. And from a very short-term point of view, they will be brought into captivity to suffer for 70 years. For those who cannot survive, they just kill and die. And when they kill and die, they cannot be saved. So forsaken God, nobody, nothing in our life, nothing. We have to pay more price than forsaken God. Remember this. If we forsake God, the price we have to pay, not only eternal life, the price we have to pay a lot of time is a broken marriage, broken family, a bad relationship, depression, a lot of problem there. Because we forsake God. And then we look into chapter 17, verse 15. Verse 15, indeed, they said to me, where is the word of the law? Let it come now. So the false prophet, not false prophet, the Israelite, those who worship the idol, when Jeremiah prophesied that if they don't repent, they will be brought to captivity. And they were not convinced about the prophecy. So they confront Jeremiah, where is the words of the law? Let it come now. Why not let your prophecy be fulfilled now? This is a very bold request. Just like in the first Peter talk about the Lord Jesus' second coming, right? 2,000 years ago, the Bible already predict Jesus' second coming. How come until today, Jesus still does not come? Why? Why? It is not because delay, right? It is because God want to give us more opportunity to prepare our own personal salvation. God want to give us more opportunity to prepare our family salvation. Can you imagine if today Jesus Christ come, can I be saved? This is a big question, right? If today Jesus Christ come, can my family be saved? This is a big question. So if we don't believe and claim, say, okay, Jesus Christ say he's coming, how come he did not come? Right? Let him come today. This is a very bold request. If Jesus come today, woe to a lot of people. So the people confront Jeremiah. If the prophecy is true, why not? That has come today. And chapter 18, we already mentioned, that's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 18. The words of the Lord come to Jeremiah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making some at the wheel. And the wheel that they made a clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So the potter just do whatever he liked to do and to make every different kind of instrument, which means that God has his own way to create the human being. Why I'm created the way I am? Because God like it, so he do it in that way. So we, as a being created, we have nothing to say. Now we look into chapter 18, later part. We mentioned that yesterday already. And chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Chapter 19 talk about God break a vessel. And that is to represent God is going to break the Judah, the southern kingdom. That's chapter 19. We look into verse 7. Chapter 19, verse 7. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemy, and by the hand of those who seek their lives. And their corpse will give as a meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beast of the earth. I will make the city desolate and hissing, and everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of its plagues. And I will cause them to eat
the flesh of their son and the flesh of their daughter, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which the enemy and those who seek their lives will drive them to despair. When you read this passage, can you imagine what happened? Oh, right, it's difficult to imagine. Oh, when Jerusalem was sieged by Babylon for a long, long time, they have no food. After they have no food, what did they eat? Right, they eat their own children. Can you imagine? Oh, how come this kind of thing happened? Oh, because they failed to pay attention to the warning of the prophet. But if we look into nowadays, look into the book of Daniel or book of Revelation, before Jesus' second coming, that will be far worse than the time of Jeremiah. Oh, especially in the book of Revelation, right? Talk about seven trumpet and talk about seven ball, and that ball pour into the ground. All different kinds of calamity is coming. It's far beyond our imagination. Before Jesus' second coming, God is going to pour down his wrath. And that kind of wrath is never happened before. And after that calamity come, and Jesus' second coming, and all the earth will be burned into ashes. Oh, so the generation of Jeremiah failed to pay attention to the warning of the prophecy. Nowadays, we are not better at all. Oh, don't think we are better. We are the same, right? The Bible keeps saying Jesus' second coming. All the signs are pointing to the second coming of Jesus Christ is very imminent. But people still commit sin. People still loving the world, right? And worshiping the idol. Oh, yeah. So one day, this kind of thing will happen. So chapter 19 and chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 7 to 9. You talk about Jeremiah served as a prophet. His unpopular ministry, 7. O Lord, you induced me as I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocked me. For when I spoke, I cry out, I shout violence and plunder, because the words of the Lord has made me to me reproach, a derision daily. Then I say, I will not mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his words was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bone. So I was weary of the holding it back, and I could not. For I hear many mocking, fear on one side. So here Jeremiah is talking about when the words of God, the movement of God come into his heart, and like a burning fire, even though the message is so unpopular, nobody want to listen that kind of message. Oh, yeah. Doom to you, right? If you don't repent, nobody want to listen. And he also tried not to speak, but he cannot, because the heart was like a fire and burning. So naturally, he just started to speak, proclaim God's message. Also, the prophet who proclaimed the God's message, a lot of time, not because they have choice. They have no choice. When God wants to use them, God's word come to them. God move them, and they have to speak. Speak faithfully to convey God's message. And verse
But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutor will stumble and will not prevail. So as a previous chapter message, God already reassured him, let them return to you. You should not return to them. Right? You represent God, so you should not bend or change the message of God to suit their needs. Right? You have to proclaim the message which they need to listen. So let them return to you. Let them change themselves and return to follow God's message. And then God said, I will be with you. So you are going to have no problem even though you suffer. So serving for God, the most important requirement is God is with us. That's what we are afraid the most. God is with us. If God is with us, nothing we are afraid of. Everything should be fine, even though there were a lot of difficulty. Nothing will really happen. Now we look into chapter 21. Chapter 21 talk about the king of Hezekiah facing the attack of Babylon. So gradually, the prophecy gradually fulfilled. Babylon come and to attack the king of Hezekiah. And then from verse 3 onwards, Jeremiah predict Babylon king is going to besiege Jerusalem and the Israelite will be attacked and they are going to be slaughtered. Chapter 21, verse 8, Jeremiah advised the people to surrender. Chapter 21. If you surrender, you will be alive. So this message be considered as a message to betray his own country. Right? As a prophet, why don't you say God protect you? Right now you say you have to surrender and follow the God who worship the idol, right? Because they fail to return to God. So the grace period over. When the grace period over, then God's punishment is coming. And so verse chapter 22, before that really happened, chapter 21 is only a warning. So he urged the people to surrender. And before that really happened, verse chapter 22, the last opportunity Jeremiah, God urged them to change. Let's see chapter 22. Verse 3. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness and deliver the plunder out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger and the fatherless and to the widow, nor shed innocent blood in your age. For if you indeed do these things, then shall enter the gate of this house, riding the house and in the chariot, accompanied by the servant and people king who sit in the throne of David. Which means they will survive and God will protect them. Verse 5, if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that the house shall become desolation. This is the last chance, just a last call, right? Just before the airplane close the door, last call, right? Come in, and if you still tarry outside, and when the door close, then finish. The last call for them to repent. Even the
invasion of Babylon imminent, but they still stubborn to death. Okay, now we read chapter 22, verse 13 to 15. Woe to him who built his house by unrighteousness and his chamber by injustice, and who used his neighbor's service without wages and give him nothing for his work. Verse 14. And who say, I will build myself a white house with a special chamber and cut out windows for it and paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermin. Verse 15, shall your rain because of your enclose yourself in the cedar? Do not your father eat and drink? Do justice and righteousness, then it will well with him. So here God tried to remind them, they used other people's labor without paying their wage, and that's what God really doesn't like. That is unrighteous before God. So one day if you become a boss, employer, according to the spirit of the Bible, you have to treat your employee very well. So that your employee feel that you are a true Christian. You are the true one who are very kind, even though you are very just, very kind. So in the church, we have quite a few of the members who work in a company and feel the boss is very good, all right? And one day we become a boss, we have to follow the principle. Let the name of God be glorified. It's very important. So a true Christian should be a very good boss. Because he exercised not only justice, but only mercy. You know, nowadays, a lot of boss, they try to pay minimum and increase maximum of workload of the employee. So a lot of employees suffering, agonizing. So the true Christian should behave like Christian way. Now this is 22, and this is a historical account. And 23 is one more time, the prophecy that the Israelites will be scattered around. And the 23 verse 5 to 6 is the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's see verse 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and eschew judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell in safety. Now this is his name, by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So these are all prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. One day Jesus Christ will be our righteousness. How come? Justification by faith. Right? Believe in him, receive the baptism, all the sin forgiven. So he is our righteousness. Justification by faith. Chapter 23, verse 13 and 14. So this is a historical account, so we can go faster. And I have seen the folly of the prophet of Samaria, and they prophesied by Baal, and caused my people Israel to err. So the false prophet guide the wrong way of God's people. And also God's people are foolish to follow the false prophet. So these two make together become their downfall. Now, false prophet is wrong because they are not sent by God. They prophesy the false prophet, prophecy. And also the Israel, the chosen of people of God, they are supposed to be able to discern whether this is a prophet from God or not, but they did not. So put it together, their faith has been gone astray. Today is the same thing. We have to discern everything according to the standard of the Bible to discern. So don't let the false prophet lead us away from our church. And how do we know this prophet is really true or not? Just use the Bible as a standard to judge it. If a prophet emphasizes a lot of money, this is not from God. The true prophet, they don't emphasize on money, right? The prophet emphasizes on self-glory, elevate themselves above God, and then it's not from God, right? And the prophet who indulges in sexual immorality, and this is definitely not the one from God, or the prophet who preach not according to the Bible. This is not from God. So we have to identify who is truly coming from God and who is not. And I discern what message is from God and what is not. So we come here try to make ourselves have more spiritual wisdom, mature more. So we will not blindly follow any people. We only follow Jesus Christ, and the Bible is a standard to judge. So, chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 1-3, talk about chapter 24. Two bucket of fig tree. The Lord showed me there will be two buckets of the fig set before the temple of the Lord after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and the prince of Judah with a craftsman and smith. So these two, verse 2, one bucket has very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket are very bad figs, which could not be eaten. So what does that mean? For those who are in a very bad fig in a bucket, that which means they will be killed. And for those who are in a good basket, which means they will survive. The grace of God will follow them. So God used so many example, vision, try to remind them. And verse 4 onwards, and the good basket of fig represent those who are under captivity, and they will return. That's the verse 4. And I say, fig, the good fig, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. Verse 4. Again, the words of the Lord come to me. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like this good fig, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of Chaldean. For I will send my eyes on them for good. Set my eyes on them means God will watch over them. God will take care of them. And I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. And in that time, verse 7, the last part of 7, I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. So after suffer for 70 years, they will return to God. Oh, so people, almost everybody, including me, the same, right? Without suffering, we are unwilling to change. Without suffering, we are unwilling to be submission. Oh, the Israel is the same. After suffer 70 years, just like a fire refined, and the gold become more pure. Oh, so at that time, they return to God wholeheartedly. And chapter 25, if we read chapter 25, then we can understand how long did Jeremiah proclaim this kind of message of doom, message of repentance. And verse 3, chapter 25, verse 3. From the 13 years of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd years in which the words of the Lord has come to me and has spoken to you. So totally how many years? The warning has been preached for how many years? 23 years. Can you imagine your parents keep on talking to you the same message for 23 years? Keep your room neat. Don't be messy. Every time get up, make up your bed. Every day keep the same message for 23 years. I bet you move out a long time already, if you are capable. So the message has been warning for 23 years, but no change. Verse 8. Therefore means the result. And before statement, the statement before is a reason. Thus says the Lord of the host. Because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this island and against its inhabitant and against this nation all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing and perpetual desolation. So God actually was very patient. A lot of time we feel that God killed so many people in the Old Testament. So some of the true seekers say, I rather to worship the God in New Testament. I don't like the God in Old Testament. Right? Kill so many people. But actually, the God in Old Testament and New Testament are the same God. But if we assume that we are God, what is going to happen? The world will be destroyed a long time ago already. So we are not as patient as God. He preached the warning for so long. Okay, so verse 8 to verse 11 is a message of justice. And then verse 12 onwards, the Babylon, after 70 years, the instrument used by God, the Babylon, and God is going to destroy them. So Babylon will be destroyed by other country. And that is a way God do business, right? Even God used Babylon, that doesn't mean Babylon will not be punished. God will hold Babylon accountable. And so verse 15, God will give them the cup of wine. And what kind of wine? Verse 15, chapter 25, verse 15. For thus says the Lord of God Israel, take this wine cup of fury from my hand. So this cup of wine is full of God's fury, full with God's anger. And we know when we drink the wine, right? The first cup, the second cup, and third cup, if you can drink so much, gradually you shall weaving around, get drunk, and cannot control yourself. Some fall down on the ground, all right? So
When the fury of God came to them, people just like getting drunk, right? Some fall down on the ground, so some fall down on here. Oh, why? Because the invasion of Babylon killed so many people. They suffer so much, get drunk in the anger of God. So this is chapter 25. Now we look into chapter 26. The same thing, same message. Chapter 26, verse 3. And perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity of which I purpose to bring on them because of their evil, of their doing. So God still urges them, turn from his evil way, which means worship the idol and turn back to God. So God will not send down this calamity to the Israelite. And so verse 8 onwards, after Jeremiah proclaimed this message, what did they do? Instead of repent, what did they do? Verse 8. And now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all the words had commanded him to speak to all the people, and the priest and the prophet and all the people seized him and saying, you shall surely die. Now, why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying this house shall be like Shiloh, and the city shall be desolate, without an inhabitant, so they don't want to listen. This message of judgment and punishment. So they want to kill Jeremiah. So today, it is a reminder to us. If God really conveys a message for us, if the message really come from God, it's a time for self-reflection. No, but they did not do that way. They want to kill Jeremiah. But from verse 16 onwards, you can see the people have different reaction. Verse 16. Also the princes and all the people said to the priest and the prophet, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. So the in the time of Jesus, the same. The Pharisees and scribes, they want to apprehend Jesus Christ. They want to persecute Jesus Christ, but they did not lay hand on Jesus Christ. Because what? Because of a lot of people. Jesus Christ earned respect from a lot of people. He performed so many miracles, so people knew he come from God. And his speech, his teaching, nobody had ever said so. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the life. I am the resurrection. Nobody had ever said that. So they really respect Jesus as God. So the scribes and Pharisees dare not to lay hand on Jesus because everybody respect them. The same thing, Jeremiah, people are respecting him. So the people say he should not die. And 27, it's another parable to say all the country will serve Babylon.
Now we look into chapter 27, verse 2. Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourself bond and yoke, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of Ammonite. And then, and verse 4, and command them to say to their master, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of the Israel, thus you shall say to your master, I have made the earth and man and beast, and that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it to whom it seems proper to me. Which means God is in control of human destiny. God is in control of the history. And this God tried to convey the message to them. Verse 6, and now I have given all this then into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So this Almighty God already give the land of all the kings, the name mentioned above, to Nebuchadnezzar. So once God give the land to them, and Nebuchadnezzar come and attack and overcome them. So Nebuchadnezzar was able to overcome them superficially because their army was strong. But the reason behind is because God already given to them. Now, just like if we read the book of Joshua, right? Before Joshua really occupied the land of Canaan, God said, I already have given the land to you. To God, the true owner of the land of Canaan, already give the land to Joshua. He was not even crossing the Jordan River yet. And since God already give it to them, so when Joshua just followed God's command and crossing it, and he was able to occupy that land. Oh. So what does that mean to us today? What does that mean? After you graduate, right? You are looking for a job. Who decide to hire you? Of course, the boss of the company hire beside you, right? But that's only superficial. You see by your eyes. And who is the one who really decide whether the company want to hire you or not? Who? The invisible ruler of the universe, God. If God won't give you the job to you, then what? It belongs to you. And God will move the heart of the boss, and he will hire you. Oh. If God doesn't want to give the job to you, then no matter how good your resume, you still cannot get it. Oh. Oh. So if we try to apply this principle to our daily life, what does that mean? God is in control behind everything. If God won't give it to you, that's yours. Oh. So don't worry. Huh? The most important relationship is with your Lord in heaven. Of course, you have to do your best to fulfill your duty. Just like Joshua, right? When God said, I already given the land to you, and he doesn't mean, okay, then why? Oh, why don't it happen? But he still have to do it to go through the Jordan River to fight and to overcome them. That was his duty. But his duty was able to succeed because God already given to him. So we have to study hard. That's our duty, right? You have to go apply for job. That's our duty. But the one who decide is the invisible God. That's more important. So even if we work in a company, right, the company will try to lay off. Yeah, it's decided by the boss, but it also decided by God. Right? So some of the brother working in a company or the left side table colleague been fired, the right side been fired, the front been fired, the rear been fired, everybody been fired, his department, only him still there. How come? Because God wanted to keep him there, so he was there. And that is a faith we have. And that doesn't mean we don't have to fulfill our duty. We still have to work hard. But work hard plus the grace of God. And then you have no worry about the future. So when we study the book of Jeremiah, right? God gave the land to Babylon. So Babylon come and attack and overcome them and occupy them. Why? Because God gave it to them. And that God is the God we worship now. Let's pray inside. Amen. 20 minutes break.